Good evening, everyone. I'd like to welcome you to the June 5th Othello City Council Workshop. I'd like to announce that normally the City Council doesn't take action during its workshop, but tonight there's a potential that we will be taking action. So with that, I'm calling this meeting to order, and I'd like you to all please rise. Short private invocation asking for blessing upon this city, its residents, and this city council as we make decisions tonight. And now please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Please be seated. Item 1.04 on our agenda is roll call, and tonight Council Member Eugene Bain is absent. He's out of town on vacation, and so I would entertain a motion tonight to excuse Eugene Bain.
Make that motion.
Second.
Motion's been made and seconded. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Item 1.05 is citizen input. Is there any citizen here tonight who would like to address the Othello City Council? If so, please raise your hand. I'll recognize you. And you can step to the microphone, state your name and address for the record, and you have up to 5 minutes to address the council. Is there anyone here tonight who would like to address the Othello City Council? Okay, seeing none, we'll move to the approval of our agenda tonight. I'd entertain a motion to approve the agenda tonight.
Make that motion.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. So item 3.01 is a public hearing on the Sagestone 8 development agreement. And so I'd like to open that public meeting at 6:35 p.m. And the process of this public hearing is the staff is going to give a presentation to the council. Then I'm going to open it up for public testimony. Those to speak in support, those to speak neutral to the proposal, and those who are in opposition to the proposal. Council will ask questions of anyone who gives testimony. Then there will be a moment for the staff response, and then I'll close the public testimony. Council will then deliberate, and then we will either approve with conditions, deny, or continue this public hearing. So with that, I would open the presentation to the council from our city attorney, Kelly Conkright.
Thank you, Mayor. So what we have before us tonight for the council's consideration is a developer agreement for the Sagestone 8 subdivision. Just to orientate you, I think you all know where it's at, but it is off of what's across 14th Avenue from the CBHA development that is underway right now. There is a number of acres that are in between 14th Avenue and the actual land that will be developed or is subject to be developed as Sagestone 8. We've been in the process, my understanding is about 8 months, trying to negotiate a developer agreement with Olson Homes, and there's been a lot of back and forth. I was involved shortly after Travis Goddard left the city's employment, so I'm getting up to speed. What you have in front of you is, and that's up here, is what the city staff, that's the last version of the agreement that city staff submitted to Olson Homes attorney for approval. Right as I left to come up here, the Olson Homes attorney, Ms. Green, who's in the audience tonight, and I'm sure will be given a presentation, submitted some revised materials. When I got here, I looked at them the best I could. And what I'd like to do is go through the agreement that we proposed, go through the, what I believe are the most salient points, and certainly answer your questions, and then highlight the, where the changes are, the pertinent changes are in the most recent submittal by Olson Homes. I think it's important for the council to know that even after 8 months, we don't, even as we come to council with this, and this public hearing, as you know, has been continued several times, we don't have an agreement between the city staff and Olson Homes. So what, you know, what's been subject to you is just what city staff had said they would support to council. So as you look through this, if you turn to page 4, and section 4 identifies exhibits, and this is of the developer agreement, not the infrastructure inspection fee agreement. Section 4 identifies some exhibits. There's Exhibit A, which is a preliminary plat map. Exhibit B is the Columbia Street, Pickle Street profile. Exhibit C is the Columbia Street and Utilities budget and cost share, which would identify what the expected budget is, what the city would expect to pay, and what the developer would expect to pay. And then Exhibit D, which is an infrastructure inspection fee agreement, which you also have in your packet. Exhibit D is the only exhibit that council has before it. The Exhibit C has not been agreed to by the city. The city is still reviewing the numbers on that, so there is no agreement on that. So if this agreement, council were to approve this agreement, I would strongly recommend that agreement be subject to staff approval of Exhibits A, B, and C. We also don't have Exhibit B. For at least the past 2 months, the city had agreed to Olson Homes' request that we reduce Columbia Street, is designated as an arterial. They requested that the street width that they be required to pave to be to residential street standards, which is narrower.
That was a mutual request.
Oh, mutual. Oh, okay. Thanks. And I wasn't involved in that. So a mutual request. We had agreed to that. The recent proposal, I believe at the end of last week, was that the city agree to actually have that be the width of a full arterial, but that the city pay for the cost of widening it, which would be the figure given to us was $32,500. But the point of that is that we don't have an Exhibit B because if it's going to be a full width arterial, that Columbia Street typical street profile has not been created. I've already mentioned Exhibit C. So now backing up a little bit. So what we have is we have the CBHA development going on, and it's currently has a temporary sewer and stormwater connection at Gemstone, which is near capacity. And there is concern that the current connection will not be able to meet the demand, extra demand placed on it by the CBHA development once the certificate of occupancy is approved, which we anticipate to be in September, early September this year. So we need an alternative, and I think council is aware of this, but we need an alternative to service that side of town. We need a new stormwater system and sewer system that is deep enough to service those areas so you have enough downflow. So the genesis of this developer's agreement was to serve developers' need in having these utilities and having a way to hook up to the stormwater and sewer, but also servicing the city's need to provide an additional stormwater and sewer line to serve the area of town that CBHA is in, which has been created by the demand that CBHA is going to be putting on it. So the desired alignment was along Columbia Street, or which would be Columbia Street. And because of where CBHA is, we would have to, and the idea of the cost-sharing arrangement between the developer and the city was that we need to do a couple things so that can serve more than just the subdivision. We got to deepen the trench for the stormwater and the sewer so that there's enough gravity there for the service. And we need to have bigger pipe so it can carry more service. So the city's thought was, well, since Olson Homes is going to have to go through the expense of installing these utilities anyway, why don't we participate with Olson Homes? We can pay for the extra cost of deepening the trench and the extra cost of paying for the larger pipe. So there would be a base cost that Olson Homes would pay that they'd have to pay for anyway. And the city would participate by paying for the increase in price for larger pipe and deepening of the trench of those items. And then the Olson Homes would, of course, have their utilities for their development. The city would have extra bandwidth to handle the CDHA needs. Now, the point of that, though, is what's very important is that that is not the only alignment for the stormwater and sewer that is available to the city. The city has current right-of-way along 14th Avenue that it can install sewer and stormwater services going south from CDHA, and then the state right-of-way we can install. We have had verbal commitment from the state that we could lay our sewer and stormwater within that right-of-way, which isn't far-fetched at all, and it's pretty understandable. We already have a water utility in that right-of-way, in the state right-of-way.
No, we have a state right-of-way that we came in from the well 9.
Oh, from well 9, so different state right-of-way. But the state has cooperated with us in that in the past. And this isn't to be confused with an irrigation easement falls kind of the same path, different location slightly, but same direction and path as the state right-of-way, which does cross other people's property. But that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the state right-of-way. And we've been in, the staff have been in communications with the state on that, and I think Kurt Holland could give more information to the council if you have any questions on that. So, but it's imperative that the system be in before CDHA gets its certificate of occupancy, so that if the demands of CDHA do overflow the temporary connection or exceed the service capability of the current connection, that CDHA has something when they get their certificates of occupancy that the city knows is going to provide the service that they need. And we don't currently have that. We don't have anything in Columbia, and we don't have that alignment going down 14th Avenue and along the state right-of-way. So in the version of the agreement in front of you, and there's been a lot of back and forth on this, if you look at page 12, and this is paragraph 16.5, and I'll go through other points of this agreement, but paragraph 16.5 is, in my opinion, my legal opinion, the most critical paragraph of this agreement. And what this provides is that the developer commits, well, the city is committing to approving the plans within 2 weeks of receiving the plans, or approving or providing comments. And it's actually if the plans were submitted on say if they were submitted today, the city would either approve the plans or come back with comments stating why the plans are not able to be accepted and requesting revisions by the end of this week, so by Friday, June 9th. And the purpose of that is to expedite that process so that the developer can get in and install those utilities along the Columbia Street alignment, and that we have some assurance that it would be done prior to CDHA obtaining a certificate of occupancy. Now, this provision, if you notice the second paragraph, also has a contingency in place. It says, if the facilities are not completed by the developer in the Columbia Street alignment, so that's stormwater and sewer, on or before July 30th, it provides a number of mechanisms for the city to go in and do that work so the city can be sure that CDHA has its service. And what those would be is that the Olson Homes would grant the city an easement, a utility easement, along the Columbia Street alignment. The city would have the authority to install the sewer and stormwater facilities, and that the developer would obligate the city for the base cost, which is the cost that the developer would incur anyway. It does not include the cost of deepening the trench or of the oversized pipe. Just the regular trenching and regular size pipe that would otherwise be required. And this would ensure that the city could get the utilities in the Columbia Street alignment by the end of the summer and be up and ready for CBHA when they're done with their project. Very important. And the reason it's important is because if without a provision like that, we are making commitments, the city, would, if they signed this, would be making commitments to participate in the installation and cost of sewer and stormwater within the Columbia Street alignment. And if it's not, and they would be contractually obligated to do that, even if they're not installed by the end of summer. And what the city would be forced to do is, if it's not going to be done by the end of the summer, doesn't look like it's going to be, the city would have to go out and put out design and put out to bid the alternative alignment down 14th along the state right-of-way in order to provide service to CBHA. And so what the risk is to the city, if we don't have a provision in here that ensures that the city can get in there and get the work done by the end of the summer, is that the city would be participating in the cost for two redundant systems that do the same thing. And so that's my primary concern, why I've been looking out for the city's interest in this. And so that's the idea and the genesis of paragraph 16.5 in the city's agreement. Now you'll notice in this agreement, I think another thing is important to point out to the council, if you look at paragraph 16.4 on page 11, the city staff did look at the request of the developer to widen the street and participate in that cost. The way it was explained to me, that the reason that request was made is not necessarily that the developer wants a wider street, but that the developer has the, you know, his plans as they currently stand are only drawn for the wider street. That he has not gone back and revised them to the narrow street that the city and Olson Homes agreed to in principle some time ago. So those are what are ready to submit, what they could submit now, and then hopefully get approval of those plans in short order, and then he could begin installing the utilities in the hopes to get them done. Now, it's all well and fine that Olson Homes agrees that they'll commit to getting the project done with X amount of days after approval. However, there's a number of problems with that, and it does not assure the city that it's not going to be in the danger that I just described of having to participate or pay for the installation of two redundant utility systems. One, in the agreement that they have provided, it's contingent on, one, it's 45, they say they can get it done within 45 business days, okay, so that doesn't include weekends, and that the 45 business days they can get it done in does not begin to run until, let me get this out so I don't misspeak. You have 45 business days after the later of the city approving the developer's plans, the developer receiving preliminary plat approval, and the developer receiving authorization to construct or start construction in the city, and the issuance by the state, something which the city really has absolutely no control over, of an MPDES permit. So there's a lot of things there, particularly the state permit, that are outside the city's control. Can't guarantee that that permit will be issued in time for the, and that the 45 business days would result in this project being done by the end of the summer. We also don't know the quality of the plans that Olson Homes is going to submit. We don't know if they're able to be accepted as is, or if there's heavy revisions needing to be made that are going to take several weeks or several days. We don't know. And the city also doesn't have any mechanism to make sure that that is done in a timely manner. Not saying Olson Homes would drag its feet or whatnot, but as we all know, when you're dealing with engineers and their own timetables and they got other projects, when you're trying to get stuff done, it takes time. If you need revisions, it takes time. I mean, we know that from our experience here on council and reviewing these things, that it often takes more time to get things back. That would be all outside the city's control. And the other problem is that Olson Homes may run into situations that where they can't get it done within the 45 days. And if they get started late, it could be on a tight time frame, even if they could get it done by the end of summer. If they blow past that 45 days, then we're not going to know until they blow past it, and there's not going to be service to CDHA. and then we're going to be back in that position. So the agreement as they have it, using the, there's no hard date when it has to be done by that would trigger the city to be able to come in and get it done. It's using these timeframes that don't begin until, until after certain events occur, which are largely outside the city's control. So the city would not have control over the timeframe. And if that really defeats the purpose, my understanding of the city's intent of getting this developer agreement put together, and to have a situation where the Columbia Street alignment utilities are not going to be done by the end of the summer. So that's, you know, that is my biggest issue with the agreement, with the revisions to the agreement, as that I've been able to review so far, because I haven't been able to fully go through these because I was already on the road when they were sent. But those are my problems with that. And why I would recommend to the city that if it does approve the developer agreement, that it approves the developer agreement that the city staff last submitted to Olson Homes, and that Olson Homes will, and also subject to reaching agreement on Exhibit B and Exhibit C, identified in the agreement. And then if Olson Homes wants to agree to it, they can. If they don't, then I think where the city's going to be left with is that the city's going to have to design and put out to bid the sanitary sewer and stormwater system along the alternative route, which circumvents Sagestone. And then we just proceed to the hearing examiner. If that were to be rejected by Olson Homes, then we just have to proceed to the hearing examiner, and that the date of the hearing is set for next Monday, so June 12th at 1 p.m. And it would be resolved that way. But I would not recommend that the city agree to the changes that we last received, so that we received about 4 o'clock today from Ms. Green, Olson Homes attorney. If the city does approve anything that approves the agreement that we put together and sent over to them today, that they've revised it, and it just puts them in the position they can agree to it or not, and then we'll have a resolution. But I do not think it would be wise for the city to put itself in a situation where public dollars are going to be spent or could potentially be spent for two redundant systems, because the city is going to want to make sure that the services are there for CBHA when they go live. Happy to answer any questions the council may have.
Council. Any questions?
Not at this time.
Okay. And I don't know if council wants to hear from Kurt Holland. He knows more from the engineering side than I do. I got to admit, I'm not an engineer. And so if you have any questions related to that, he'd be the person you want to talk to from the city's perspective.
So we're just worried about getting the sewer and storm in 45 days, business days.
Well, it's really getting it in before the end of the summer is what we're concerned about. And there's, within the agreement they propose, there's a 45 business day time frame, which really works out to be 60 days, you know, because that doesn't include business days, doesn't include holidays, 4th of July or weekends. And that time frame does not begin to run until certain events occur, which are largely out of our control. You know, there'd be pressure on the city to maybe approve plans that aren't the best just to get this thing going through, or that maybe there's technical problems with them. And if there are problems with them, I mean, we have to do our due diligence and we can't approve them, but then that pushes back the start date. It could push it back to a date where there's no way that it would get done before the end of summer, because even the 45-day business days may extend beyond the summer, particularly, and we don't have control over the issuance of the NPDES permit by the state. So it does leave the city in the position of having to pay for two redundant systems.
But we're just talking storm and sewer.
That's correct.
So it doesn't take 45 days to put storm and sewer in the ground.
And I'm not an engineer.
I mean, yeah, there is other things you have to do, but I mean, that's, I don't know.
I know we need to protect the city, but that seems like we're just holding them back from doing this.
Well, and I'd like to address that. What do you mean? I mean, because it's their, they proposed the 45 days, business days.
Okay.
Not us.
But that's, so why wouldn't we want to approve that as the city?
Because we, the 45 business, there's no guarantee, in their agreement, there's no guarantee that it would be done. They could be within 45 days, but there's no guarantee that it would be done by the end of summer, because the 45 days doesn't begin until a number of events which occur, which are to a large extent outside the city's control. In one event, it's completely outside the city's control and influence. That's the state permit. And the others, it's certainly within the city's influence, but we can't control the quality of plans that are provided to the city for review. And if there's revisions that are necessary, we have absolutely no control over when Olson Homes and their engineer are going to get back to us with the revisions. So, for example, if they didn't get back, say they submit tomorrow plans, and we look at the plans, and there's all kinds of problems with them, and we say, okay, and we get back to them the very next day, and we say, look, here's the problems with them. This is what needs to be changed. Let's say they don't get back to us until August, say August 1st, because there's nothing in here that says when they have to resubmit them. They don't get back to us by, say they get back to us August 1st, they got 45 days, and they're good, and we approve them on August 2nd. Well, then they got 45 business days from August 2nd to get that in, which is going to blow way past CBHA's completion date. And that's just it, for example. Again.
So 45 days, even if they start tomorrow, that puts us in the middle of August.
That's correct.
And, yeah.
Yeah, it's very tight.
CBHA, they're going to be the first part of September?
That's correct. That's my understanding, is that's the projected completion date. And when
what's the issue with the MPDS permit? Is that for the stormwater?
No, that's for the wastewater.
For the sewer?
Mm-hmm. Yep. And we know how far behind they're usually running. When was our MPDS permit up? And it's been at least a year or more. And they're way behind on their schedules. I mean, we're running under our last MPDS, and we will be until they get to the point where they can.
That's what I'm still waiting.
Yeah.
Kurt, did you have some things you wanted to add?
Yeah.
You're going to need to come to the microphone.
I believe when they talk about the NPDS permit, they're talking about the construction stormwater NPDS mm-hmm. permit. So there's state regulations that say once you disturb so much area, you have to put erosion control fencing around or other measures to protect adjacent surface waters. I'm not even positive, depending on how they do the work, whether one's needed. I assume so. It's a pretty good size. So.
It was listed in a fee agreement as one of the conditions we need to address.
So how timely is DOE running on getting the NPDS plans out for those types of things?
The NPDS, or the call them SWIPs, Stormwater Pollution Prevention Plans, mm-hmm. We do a notice of intent. We have to file that. It takes 30 days before they recognize the notice of intent. During that time period, we have to prepare the SWIP and get all the plans in place. So it's just their time period of to give them the opportunity to review the SWIP if they choose to do so, and or provide allow for public comment on the intent to do the work.
Thank you. Is there any other questions, Council? We're still going to deliberate. So,
hey, Mayor, can I add one thing?
Yes.
I don't think I clarified or hit on this real well, so I just want to make sure council understands. So in our agreement, we have a date in paragraph 16.5 of July 30th that if it's not done by July 30th, that the city would have the ability to go in and do it. Well, the reason we have July 30th, that's obviously not the end of the summer, but the city needs time. I mean, if we can't wait to the end of the summer to decide
we can't wait till CBHA needs the connection to go in and decide, okay, we got to go in and take care of this. We need lead time to get design documents done, put it out to bid, get somebody out there and get the work done. So even with July 30th, the city's probably going to have to do design work and potentially, you know, start putting this out to bid if it looks like it's not going to get done by then. So I just wanted to make sure the council knew that timing piece of why July 30th. I mean, originally, we picked July 15th, but then we changed it to July 30th, given the date at where we're at now.
So, public hearing, we've set our piece and we're going to hear from them?
Yeah.
Because I'd like to hear their reason for all the red in their contract.
Okay. So, is there any other further questions council has? No. All right. So, at this time then, I'd like to open the public testimony. And the public testimony the council receives in three parts, those in support of the present contract that the city has proposed for this developer's agreement, those who are neutral to the proposal, and those who are in opposition. And after each person stands and is recognized and can speak, the council will have opportunity to ask questions of the developer or his staff or emissaries, as it were. So right now then, is there anyone tonight who would like to speak in support of this agreement that the city has proposed?
Yes.
Okay.
Hi, my name is Michelle Green. I'm here from Jeffries Danielson. I'm one of the attorneys for Pete Olson. I do want to thank Mr. Conkright and the city staff. We've been doing a lot of back and forth on this agreement, and I know everyone's got a lot of time in, as well as our team on this. So there's been good efforts on both sides to try to reach an agreement, and I think we are very close, but there are some pretty significant terms that are still hanging out there that we need to resolve. We've basically got three sections in the developer's agreement that I want to talk about, and I want to touch first on 16.5, which I think is the main section at issue. That's the one Mr. Conkright's been talking about. You know, our issue with the timing of the installation is that we can only control the things that we have control over. The trigger points that we're asking to start the running of the 45 business days are the things that we don't have control over. So we can commit to when we can submit our plans, and we're agreeing to do that by June 9th. We can commit to the things that we can do after those plans are approved, after we get plat approval, and after we get the permits that are required under Washington law. We can't commit to doing those things, meeting a timeline that's based on those items that we don't have control over. So Mr. Conkright had indicated that the city doesn't have control over those items, but it really does, because triggers that we're asking to start the running of that 45 days, which that number is the timeline that we got from our contractor, as that's what they can commit to. They can commit to having the work done within 45 business days, and so that's where that number came from. And so the trigger of that is after the later of the city approving the developer's plan. That's an item that the city has control over. After the developer receiving preliminary plat approval. Again, that's the city can support the approval of the plat at the hearing that's set for next Monday. The developer receiving authorization to start construction from the city. That's an item that the city has control over, not us. And then lastly, the issuance of the MPDES permit by the state. That's something we're required to get. We can't do this work if we don't have that permit in place under Washington law. Del Green can speak a little bit more about what those requirements are, but my understanding is that the city would need that same permit if it was going to do the work itself, if it was going to do the alternative route along the state highway. It would need the same permit. So this is a hurdle that we're all going to have to get this work done. And on the timing issue, Mr. Olson is absolutely motivated to move forward with the project. He doesn't want any delays. He's got, you know, there's a demand for the project to, you know, move forward, and he wants to get this work done. So there's no intention on our end to delay the process in any way. We just can't commit to a timeline that our contractor says he can't meet and that isn't triggered or is out based on items that are outside of our control. So we can't just agree to the July 30th date because our contractor said he can't meet that date and because there's all these things that need to get in place before we can start that work. So that's the basis for our requested changes in 16.5. And then in 16.4, kind of some minor changes there. And I, Mr. Concrete didn't touch too much on those, so I'm not sure if there's any objection on the city staff end with respect to those. But basically, we removed the planter strip requirement. That's something that, in our minds, the parties had already discussed and agreed upon. There's not room for the planter strips if we're doing the wider road. And Mr. Concrete was correct that the reason for the wider road and the reason that we asked the city to chip in the additional $32,500 is because that would enable us to help the city meet its timeline. That would expedite the process because we basically have plans ready to go, ready to submit this week with the wider design. And that would, you know, again, help expedite the process. If the city didn't want to go that route, we would proceed with the narrower road, but that's going to take us some time to finalize those plans. So that's the reason for that. And otherwise, the changes in that paragraph were basically just to confirm that the road is going to be built to the requirements of arterial streets under the city's code. Yeah.
Question for you. Who asked for the narrower street?
I think it was agreed upon by both parties.
Who asked for it? Who brought it up and asked for it?
Okay. It was Pete Olson,
so Mr. Olson, it sounds like. Asked for a narrower street to minimize costs.
Correct.
Okay, we agreed to it. Okay. He failed to get plans built or made for submittal.
Pete was holding back on committing the funds to go do that until we had agreements in place. And so I stopped work on the Fulwood Street plans very close to completion when we budgeted and prepared the budgets and had all that. So we were waiting until we were
okay. So the city has offered up $32,000 to get the street that we wanted in the first place.
And everybody's in agreement on that. So no, that's not an issue anymore. The city staff's recommended proceeding with that term in place to for the city to pay the $32,500 with the wider width. And moving forward with the quicker timeline that would allow us to submit plans this week. So we're in agreement on that. I guess that was my comment that I wasn't my changes in that section. I'm not sure that there was any objection on the city end. Just it was clarifying that the $32,500 is for the additional roadway width and removal of the planter strip because there's not room for that with the wider road. So I don't know that there's any city objections.
Yeah. The only thing, Michelle, would be subject to council approval.
Yeah, absolutely. Obviously. Yeah, obviously the whole agreement is. And then last, the only other section that we had changes in was section 15. And that requirement... give me just a minute while I flip to that section. And basically, we were asking for a provision in section 15 that limits our cooperation to that, which is reasonable. So the developer will reasonably cooperate with and allow the city to install the public irrigation systems, provided that that's not going to result in an unreasonable delay or interference with our construction schedule. So what we wouldn't want is the city saying, we're going to install irrigation in a year and we want you to hold off on pouring the sidewalks or road improvements or otherwise. And I don't think that's to be the case, but that language was sufficiently broad that it just rose a concern on our end. And Mr. Ferris is shaking his head, so I think everybody's generally in agreement on our suggestions on that. So really what we're looking at is that paragraph 16.5 and the timing. And again, Those are things that, that's what we can commit to. That's what we can do. We can't agree to a timeline that we don't have control over. The timeline has to be based on when we get approval to do the work, when we get the permits required under state law. And so we can't commit to something beyond that. And so I really do think that's a deal breaker provision. But I also want to reiterate that, you know, Mr. Olson is very motivated to get this work done. So there's not going to be, we're going to be submitting plans this week. We're going to be doing everything we can, and we hope the city will help us in the effort to get the MPDES permit. So, I mean, there's motivation on both sides to get this done, certainly. And so, but again, we can't commit to a timeline that we don't have control over. We can't commit to a fixed date. It's got to be based on the date that we get approvals to do the work.
So the MPDES permit is for construction phase only. It only deals with the construction. So we need it and he needs it.
Correct.
We need it for the whole project, correct?
And so my understanding is even if the deal fell apart and the council wanted to go with the alternative route along the highway, the city would need that same permit. And so that's something that is a timing issue for everybody no matter what. All we're saying is we can't do the work before we have the appropriate permits under state law. We have done some research on the alternative access. I'm going to let Mr. Green, Del Green, weigh in on that, but we don't believe the city actually has the required easements or approvals to go the alternative route because it's not a dedicated right-of-way. So the state doesn't have the ability to unilaterally grant the easement over that route, but I'm going to let Mr. Green give some more details on that issue. But we do believe there's an issue with this alternative route being a viable option for the city. Did any of the council have questions for me before I sit down?
So you're going to tell us why we should use what we've proposed to use? Is that what you're going to say?
No, what I'm suggesting is that notwithstanding that there's some timing issues that I know are difficult for everyone in the agreement, I think the agreement as we've proposed with the red lines to those three paragraphs is the right deal. It's what should be approved by the council. It'll enable the work to get done. It's the right solution for everybody.
So you're telling us that we should accept an open-ended request, basically, that there's going to be no not to exceed timeline for completion of this project.
No, because it is, if there was, if preliminary plat was denied,
there shouldn't be any reason for the preliminary plat to be denied, right?
No, because, there shouldn't.
Because you're submitting the original documents that you wanted you to build in the first place, right?
Right.
Correct.
All right.
So if, I mean, there's, in my mind, it's not open-ended because we fully expect these four triggers to happen. They're just things that we don't have control over. So it's not an open-ended deal in that we believe the city is going to authorize us to start the construction. We believe the plat is going to be approved on Monday. We believe the city is going to approve our plans, and we believe we're going to be able to get the same permit that the city would be required to get within an expedited timeline. So it's not any more open-ended than any other commitment, I guess. And again, I think this is the right deal for everybody. I think I've very much appreciated the efforts of the city staff and Mr. Conkright. We've gone back and forth a lot. We're very close. Maybe had we had one more day, we might have nailed down these last issues. I don't know. These last few revisions are reasonable. They're appropriate for the developer. What we're asking for is to make sure we have the permits required under Washington law to do the work, and that we have the dates run from the date we actually get approval. And that's what we can commit to, and we want to do that. And if we don't meet those commitments, there's still the fallback provision. If we don't meet that 45-day timeline after those triggers, there's still the ability for the city to then get its easement and go in and do the work itself. So that fallback that was drafted by the city is still in the agreement. The triggers are just, give us a timeline that we can meet because it's based on when we get the approvals. That's when we can start the work. Any of you have any other questions for me? If not, I'm going to turn it over to Del to give a little bit more background on the permitting issues. He's more of an expert than I in that.
Anybody, council?
I'll save it until after Dale's done.
So in terms of the schedule to go forward and complete these, this project, please keep in mind that, was it before 3 weeks ago, schedule wasn't even discussed. 16.5 didn't exist, and we've been reacting to it ever since, trying to meet the needs of the city and also meet the needs of our client. To go forward from this point, to be able to get through and get the project completed in as fast a time as possible, it's going to take the teamwork of both us and the city to be able to get it done with these new constraints that we weren't operating under 3 weeks ago. And that's why you see that our plans aren't prepared for the tighter timeline. Had we known that this was coming up, we would have been working on the plans earlier, possibly with the authorization of Pete Olson and the expenditure of that money to do that work. So going forward to today, the fastest possible way to get through and get these plans constructed, or the sewer and this water line constructed, is for me to do my final review on a set of plans my wife's holding there, all 12 pages of it, that cover all the infrastructure improvements for Sage Stone 8, includes all the work from 7th Avenue all the way to 14th Avenue. Includes the sewer, water, storm, and all of their interactions, so that in going forward through those plans that we minimize any conflicts, that the contractor, a single contractor, can go through and construct them. One contractor is responsible for all the work. You don't have multiple contractors in play where you can blame one, or one guy blame the other. The contractor is responsible for the work that gets completed. And we'll be able to go through and have those plans reviewed. I'm sure Varela and Associates will give it an adequate review and an approval, so that it meets all the final construction plans, meet all the state requirements and those needs. Likewise, along with, concurrently with those plan review, we can put in the NOI with the state and start that timeline ticking as we are going through with those reviews. As Varela goes through the reviews, and I make adjustments to the plans based on their comments. So that could take a month in itself. We've proposed the things that we can control, the expeditious submittal. The city has the ability to go through and put their effort in it to review the plans and to provide the recommendations, and then me make the revisions to my plans so we can get them approved as expedient or as fast as possible. That happens through thorough reviews the first time through. All the comments are given, and then you make one set of revisions, possibly some fine tuning after that, and then you'll be done. I think it's definitely possible that can be done in 3 weeks' time period. I've put a significant amount of work into these plans. I think these plans are very close, and they're very adequate for the chores that's sitting in front of us. So to go through and to plus, there's no bid requirements on our end either. We already have estimates from our contractor. Those estimates have been provided to the city in the exhibit. There was a late change change to those. Exhibit C. Thank you, sir. Exhibit C. There was some revisions to Exhibit C on the last submittal. Those changes included two components. One component was the provision of the city to discussing putting the irrigation on both sides of the road rather than on one side. And the other component was, is there's been an increase in PVC prices of 13% in the last 3 months. So those components were adjusted in there per foot costs, with small increases in those per foot costs for the trenching. And it's been submitted back to for review. So with those components, and with some teamwork between us and the city, getting those plans reviewed and approved, we are by far the closest and the fastest team available to get this work done. Although 45 days doesn't seem like, or seems like an excessively long time. We are talking about almost 2,600 feet of pipe. Okay, two runs of it. So that's a mile of pipe in the ground. Because of the depth of what we're looking at, we don't know if we're going to be running into unsuitable soils, caliche, or other possible frustrations to the construction process. So all of our decisions, our recommendations, and our timelines have our eyes wide open to those potentialities, as pavement construction has a long-standing, well, relationship with the city and knows the soils here very well. So that covers those points on the development agreement and the timing. One thing that we haven't really discussed was the fee agreement, and there's some revisions to the fee agreement that are substantial in that when we made our original we had original meeting with the mayor and discuss this fee agreement, this 2.5%. There's a verbal agreement made at that point that stated that the city would take care of the inspections, and then we would take care of the testing and the record drawings. The revisions, we've gone back and forth with this fee agreement a few times, more times than we should have, but we haven't seen any change on staff's side relative to key components. These key components would be in the submittal section of it, where the city's requests that we submit the submittals to the city. Go on. Or key component right here. Materials submitted will be considered informational for the purpose of the project and checked only for general conformance with the city and/or industry standards. Public Works possession of materials and metals is not intended to be certification that the developer actually installed the materials identified or did not deviate from the submittals. The developer is responsible for ensuring that the materials identified in the submittals were in fact used in the plans. Well, that's a key component of inspection. By providing those submittals, by making sure those things meet the intended plan set, that would be a key part of the inspections. Otherwise, the developer would have to pay for a representative to stand around site and make sure all those things happen. And that was the proposal that we came up before, and that was the sharing of that labor and the work that Pete Olson would be paying for its 2.5% of that construction cost, which the last estimate of that, the full cost of this project was just over $2 million. We're talking a significant amount of time to be spent in likely 5 months' time during which this construction takes place. A good set or portion of it that the city's most interested in is in the first 30 days, calendar days. The other portion that has been a sticking point in this in this agreement is the 4.4, please. 4.4. We sent in revisions over a week ago where we requested some changes in the terminology to show that the city is actually doing the inspection. If we come in at the completion of the project and the design engineer shall make the final inspection and determine if the project is substantially performance with the construction documents. Then once all these things are taken care of, then the city goes out and inspects. Well, it's kind of opposite of the original agreement's intent, where the city would provide those inspections. See, the city should be involved in the inspections of the project all the way through. You know, we're not expecting you to be out there all the time, but you have the ability to run out there, do spot inspections, and keep them on their toes. Make sure they're doing what they're supposed to do, the right type of pipe, the right type of equipment, or going in. This is how other municipalities inspect their projects. Mainly, most likely, the prime community that we leaned on for these agreements. So,
I rewrote these sections to call out that, you know, the city inspectors are doing these things. When the city inspector is happy, then you bring us in to do those final inspections, the design engineer, the other public works staff, and then we do that punch list walkthrough, and we make sure it's all just perfect. Then after that, we march through the rest of the of section 4.4. Can you go up, please? So the other components that were listed in here were the because when we were reviewing these the response from the city that I got a hold of today, we submitted ours a week ago, but I got a hold of them today, and a lot of these points were back to what the text was before. And you know, the construction documentation, there's some small wording changes in there, but I don't think there's anything significant about there. The other portions of the changes that we requested for here was to eliminate the plat processes from a fee inspection fee agreement, because they're all handled under the platting process. And we're not requesting any deviation other than those identified in the development agreement. So this is kind of the other hang up that we've had in terms of the negotiation, but on our end, we are completely motivated to get this construction underway. Pete needs lots to construct on. And we've been working through these components and these disagreements with the city, trying to work through and find a plan and a path that works within Pete's budget and also gets the city what they need on their end. So there were some questions there. There were also some questions earlier that had to do with the progression of the plans and who requested the change of the roadway width from wide to narrow. We went through the budgeting process and we prepared the budgets, and with the budgets submitted, it was approaching a threshold that Pete couldn't afford to be able to go forward. I mean, because the arterial width roads are very expensive. I mean, we're talking a half mile of road, but we're also talking about $2 million worth of infrastructure and roadway costs. So we requested some aid with that, and the city, you know, with the justifications which we provided, which makes sense, you know, we have a residential road in there with a 60 foot wide asphalt pavement. That's a lot of pavement. Will likely be cracking and going away before it ever fully gets utilized. So by doing that, the cost reduction to Pete wasn't as significant as you might think, because when the roadways narrowed, now we're moving the sidewalks away from the road, we're putting driveways in, the amount of concrete increases, which is a lot more expensive than the asphalt. We got the benefit of the reduction in the gravel and the asphalt, but it also forces on the infrastructure side. That narrower prism forces us into a bigger catch basin. You know, our traditional catch basins are 24 by, you know, 22 inch. Now we're going to 48 inch manholes to meet state standards. And those are essentially all the catch basins come and turn into manholes with square lids. There's more expense there. So when that all adjusted out, it came down to $32,500. And so Pete, you know, because of this new timeline issue and trying to meet their standards, to say, hey, you help me with that, well, let's go to the other standard and get it done to meet you guys' needs. So as Michelle has pointed out, we're just looking for an agreement that meets Pete's needs so we can get underway and meet your needs, especially given that you have the fast approaching need for CBHA to connect to the Columbia line.
So before you go, Daryl, I wanted to ask,
Kurt Andrews, is that September 1 date still a valid date?
That's pretty an occupancy.
Right.
Occupancy with the public, you refer to the candidate.
Will we be able to, can we legally grant a certificate of occupancy when we don't have the sewer connection?
There's an alternate that we agreed on a long time ago that they can hook up to, that we think will work temporarily until they get really full up and running sometime in the fall. But the fear was, as they added on, as they did more stuff, that would not be adequate to handle the flow. So initially, it'll probably be okay. Is that what we agreed to, Kurt, if I remember correctly? Both Kurt, I'm looking at both Kurts.
I believe the current system is surcharging at peak flows now, so.
It's close, yeah. So it'll be close. And that's why the fear is we won't be able to meet the full flow once they get fully up and operational.
Right. But they aren't going to need to be full capacity on September 1. They're looking at a later date.
That's what we're finding out tonight. I just asked Kurt.
So basically, you're looking, just so I understand the process, you're looking at a September 1 date for the certificate, which would then give you permission to go in and populate, you know, go in and do the yeah. Mm-hmm. And so then you just be basically setting up the office and getting everything all ready to go for the public. Mm-hmm. And how many employees?
250.
And initially?
We probably ramp up to 100 before we open the public and then the other
staff. So we probably have 100 employees in there. Okay. All right. Now I want to ask Daryl.
Dale.
Yeah. Dale.
Yes.
Sorry. So I know you want to change some of this language, but like, for instance, in that middle paragraph where it says the developer shall obtain warranties from the contractors, subcontractors, and suppliers of materials or equipment, why do you want to deny the city those warranties?
The most of the warranties and equipment and things like that are effectively go away during the two-year warranty period that we provide already and is covered by the maintenance bond. Only those pieces of equipment that would last longer than that would still be under warranty. Some of the problems that we have is the warranty from the contractor is covered underneath the maintenance bond, clearly. The warranty from subcontractors is nearly impossible to get, being they're in a bonded group. And then from the suppliers of materials, the only ones that would be even affected are the ones where the warranties are over the two-year time period. Which, I haven't looked at a lot of those warranties to know, but from what I've discussed with the contractor, is there's really nothing there.
The contradictory to that statement is that there's a 10-year limited warranty on these Clo-resilient wedge valves. And so if we agree to that, then we basically are waiving this 10-year warranty on those valves. Why would the city want to do that?
The text that we've provided and we suggested before brought up all of those components. I don't think we would have a problem providing material submittals or warranties for the components that have those warranties, those extended life warranties.
Okay. So you guys would be agreeable to at least to that part of it. I understand the 2 year. I get that part. I sell bonds. I know. I understand that part of it. But as far as a warranty for things that go beyond the 2 years, I would like that to be extended to the city because, I mean, if Clo Resilient Wedge Valves is offering a 10-year warranty, the city certainly wants that.
Yes, we want that information. I agree. And it's the part was pieces that it's hard to, it's nearly impossible to get the deeds. Mm-hmm. And so when we look at the agreement, we're saying, well, because at the end stage, we may be held up because we can't deliver this piece. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so then I want to ask Kelly, so what we're asking, I mean, any normal development, we are usually asking for a two-year warranty period, correct?
Correct.
And so by changing this, is there anything that the city really is giving up that it shouldn't?
Well, yeah, I mean, if you look at the language, I mean, you look at it, it says where such warranties are required. So where they're required elsewhere, this just reiterates they're going to get them. I mean, so, I mean, I'm wondering where in the agreement, I mean, because that where such warranties are required is a modifying clause on that whole provision. So I'm wondering which warranties that are required in the developer agreement or in the inspection fee agreement that Olson Homes objects to. Because otherwise, I don't know why you would cross that out if there's something in there you're objecting to.
Do you have a response, Michelle?
You know, I guess the way we read that was that it was requiring us to go out and get warranties that we otherwise wouldn't be able to obtain. I don't think we have an issue, correct me if I'm wrong, I don't think we have an issue, you know, extending whatever warranties are available. We didn't want to be in a position where you request warranties from subcontractors and suppliers that weren't ready to give them.
Just put in the table.
Perhaps we could modify that in such a way to make clear that it's wherever those warranties are otherwise required in this agreement. I don't think we have an issue with that. We just didn't want to be
like in these valves, that's the example.
Yeah, yeah. It's
they offer a longer, yeah.
It's having to be required to deliver something that we can't really give. That's what our
okay.
Why we have
this. I think we can figure that one out.
Okay.
Mayor, I'd like for Kurt to address the submittal issue that Dale brought up, if you could, and why that's important and how that works with submittals.
Sure. Presentation.
So actually, I was going to go back and go over a couple things. Regarding the schedule, I mean, that was a late adder to this as time was rolling on and our anxiety level started increasing on getting it done. So, yes, back in November when we first gave that to them, we weren't terribly concerned about schedule. But June, April, May, we started getting concerned about getting this thing done and being able to serve CBHA.
So that's when 16.5 became an issue.
Yes, sir.
Because you drug it out so long, but now it's crunch time. We have to deal with the issue of when can we get it done.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
And he didn't talk about it. Dale, I'd be kind of curious about the right-of-way. Again, as it drug on, we start looking at alternatives. We didn't know. It seemed like we were getting painted into the corner. We were looking for options. So that's when I called WashDOT. I talked to Bill Gold. He indicated that we did have access to his right-of-way. The city does have stormwater in that right-of-way further down, SR-26.
I don't know if they have other stuff in that right-of-way too, Terry, do you know? Yeah. Okay.
So from 7th Street on, there is a storm. The city's got an existing storm pipe in there. Regarding the submittals, the initial conversation with the submittals was they didn't want to do any. And we talked about it with staff. We went to the Public Works Committee, and they said, no, absolutely, we want submittals. So as a kind of an olive branch, what we kind of decided to do was, all right, give us a submittals at the end of the project. So if there's a problem with a valve, with something, the city can go back and look up the park number, get parts for it, etc. So initially there was not a submittal process because Mr. Olson did not want to submit any material submittals. Inspection closeout, contrary to what Dale said, I'm going to give the analogy of your building official. Your building official does not stand in the building and wait for it to get substantially complete and then says, all right, stop, you're substantially complete, here's your occupancy. What happens, what the EJCDC supports, what other verbiage that I forwarded the city is, when the city or when the contractor feels they're complete with the project, they request in writing a final inspection and substantial completion, a certificate of substantial completion. I know Pegram's very familiar with those. So I don't, anyway, I set several examples to it. When the contractor considers the entire work ready for an intended use, the contractor should notify the owner and engineer in writing that the entire work is substantially complete and request that the engineer issues a certificate of substantial completion. So, to my knowledge, I don't believe I've ever been involved with a project when the engineer or the city public works director or somebody else comes out to the project and notifies the contractor that he's substantially complete. That is always from the contractor, not the engineer. So usually things precipitate in an orderly fashion after that. He requests in writing to be issued the substantial complete. They go out there and they inspect the facilities. The design engineer inspects the facilities to ensure that they were constructed per his plans and specifications. There's a punch list developed. Again, the inspector doesn't go out there and say, all right, the punch list is done. The contractor responds and say, I got the punch list, it's done, please come out for final inspection. Then you go out there for a reinspection. But in my experience, it's always been a contractor-driven process, not an engineer-driven process. The warranties, so just I'm going to touch on that real briefly. Typically when we're done with the municipal project, the warranties is one of the most important things to the owner. And it could be catastrophic failure years down because of something went wrong. There's often extended warranties on gen sets. So this was language taken out of a municipal project that would apply to specialty subcontractors or subs. Like, for example, you had a Caterpillar generator. Sometimes they have 5-year warranties on them. I grabbed one Clow valve and it's got a 10-year warranty on it. And at the end of the project, we assemble all of those and we give it to the city so they can easily access that. Because when something happens, you wouldn't need to call in the warranty. You don't want to be stumbling over or doing file searches 8 years ago about a project. You want to be able to go grab that binder off the shelf and contact the rep and have the correct part number, etc. Any other questions or comments?
I'm good.
Yes.
I just have a question for the lawyer for Pete.
Yes.
Under 16.
Thanks,
16.5.
Mm-hmm.
Explain to me the last portion of the paragraph, the red in the bottom underline. What are you trying to accomplish there?
In the event of an appeal?
Yeah, I've read it 5 times and I can't understand what it is you're trying to accomplish or who you're trying to protect with regard to that. I mean, explain it to me.
Yeah, so basically if there's a third party appeal of the preliminary plat, if the hearing examiner approves the plat on Monday, but then some third party appeals that, and there's expenses that are incurred by Pete during the pendency of that appeal, we're requesting that those then be, that would have been the responsibility of the city, we're requesting that those be reimbursed, notwithstanding the pendency of this appeal. So it's possible for the plat to get flipped on an appeal, and if Pete incurs costs that would have been...
Again, this is an agreement. It's mm-hmm. a cost-share agreement, so Pete's got to cost-share something. You can't just dump it all back onto the city.
And we're not dumping back the cost that would have been his cost.
Either, so how do we take sole responsibility for that?
So what we've requested reimbursement from is for all costs incurred by the developer that would have been the responsibility of the city. So So the city is still doing the cost sharing. The city's still reimbursing for its share if the deal gets flipped on an appeal. That's the purpose of that section. And then real quick, I do want to address the manufacturer warranty issue. The city will be provided with the manufacturer's warranty. That's standard operating procedure. So the comments about there not being the warranties for the various infrastructure items or materials, any manufacturer's warranty that exists, that will be provided. What the language that we were limiting in the infrastructure and fee agreement was additional warranties from the contractor, or us having to go out and get additional warranties that don't otherwise exist from suppliers, from subcontractors. And for our warranty, we're saying that shouldn't go beyond the bond that we're already providing. That was the comment there. So any manufacturer's warranty that exists, that will be provided to the city. That's, so that's OP.
Well, it lives with the valve. The manufacturer,
right? So the city will have those.
So we take ownership after 2 years, correct? Yeah,
the city will have those.
So we own it. So we get it.
Correct.
All right. Just spell it out so we all understand.
Yeah. So I mean, I don't think there's we don't disagree with I missed your name. We don't disagree with those comments. The city is going to get those warranties, and our revisions to the infrastructure and fee agreement weren't designed to somehow change that.
More questions on the submittal, but go ahead.
Just a comment, because I think you were looking at me and maybe wanted to comment on this last sentence of paragraph 16.5. So one thing, I mean, I did speak with Ms. Green today, and she brought up the point of, well, what if a third party appeals the preliminary plat approval, assuming we get this all agreed, and he's began work, and because the appeal wouldn't be done, you know, for probably 30 days, you know, from now, or from June 12th. You know, you don't know, you could have appeal within that time frame. So the question is, well, what do we do about costs? The developer's already started. And I said, well, I think that Mr. Olson would, you know, bear the risk of his own costs for his appeal, and the city would bear its own risk of its costs if there's an appeal. And so the way this is worded, and I'm going to follow up with this, but the way it is worded is that the only risk the city would have in the event of appeal of the preliminary plat and that it's not approved is that the city would be responsible for what the city would have had to pay up to that point anyway under the agreement. So, and the developer would have to eat the loss of its expenses that it paid that it would otherwise be responsible for under the agreement. So both sides are just accepting their own risk. Nobody is covering each other. So that's okay. However, and again, I haven't, and I apologize, I just haven't been able to look at this fully before tonight's meeting because, I mean, I was out on the road when it was emailed. I wanted to get here and not review it on the road. So. But if you look at this, it says, in the event of appeal to preliminary plat approval, or, and this is important, or if the improvements are not completed by the developer by agreed upon deadline above. So basically, if the developer blows the deadline, then this still triggers those same reimbursements. I just wanted to bring the council's attention to that. Just seeing that now.
Above, I can't find a date. What date are you being...
Well, and I can answer
that's it. That's the 45 business days after those four approval events. So,
but there is no date. You're making reference to a date that doesn't exist in the paragraph up above.
Well,
it's a determinable deadline.
I mean, because you've crossed out dates like June 5th and made it June 9th, and you've crossed out July 30th. And
yeah, in the way that would be interpreted,
you left it completely open.
In the way that would be interpreted as the date. It'd be the 45 business days after the later of these events in here, which is, you know, receiving preliminary plat approval, receiving authorization to start construction, and the MPDS permit. That would be the 40 days after the later of those events would be the date that this last sentence would be keyed off of.
Yeah.
Because that is the deadline.
And it's a calculable date. Once those things happen.
So
I think we're in agreement on that.
Yeah. And so, and I just want to bring the, but if they blow past that deadline, then the city's reimbursing them for, you know, expenses, and the city's going to have to go out and pay somebody else to do it.
I think the scenario, so if we got to day 46, the improvements are 99% done, but we blew the deadline by one day. Olson should still be reimbursed because the city can pick that up right on that day with a 99% complete project. So we should still be getting our reimbursement in that scenario. And that's the purpose of what that provision is, because, you know, we're committing to that 45-day deadline, but, you know, Dell's comments about the soils, there could be some unknown soil condition that results in our contractor not being able to meet that promised timeline. And so we could be at day 50 in the scenario that none of us want to be in, but the project could be 90% complete at that point. And in fairness, Pete should get reimbursed for that part, because the city could pick that up, do that last 5%, and get it done in that location. So that's a fair provision.
And out of fairness, though, for city council's representation, the way the language is written, that would also be the case if after the 46th day, Olson Homes was only 20% then, or 30%, or 40%. I mean, pick a percentage. It doesn't matter what the percentage is, that applies. In any event, the one thing I want to point out to council is that under this agreement, and I'm not saying it's a bad idea to approve this agreement. That's not my role. My role is to tell you what the potential consequences are, and you guys decide what's a good idea and what's a bad idea. I'm just telling the council that the way this is worded, the city could be in a situation where it's going to have to, and because we're dealing with tight time frames, where the city could be obligated to complete this infrastructure for the Safe Stone 8 development along the Columbia Street alignment and participate in the cost share. And also, in order to serve CBHA, go out and fund the 14th Avenue state right-of-way alignment. And the reason that could happen is because of this 45 business day timeline, and when it is triggered, the city does not, I mean, contrary to what you've heard, I mean, I know I've told you this, and contrary to what else you've heard tonight, that is not stuff that's entirely in the city's control. The city, if the city gets plans that are poor, it can't approve them. It can't. It's a matter of law. It can't. City engineer would be abdicating its duty. The city can't control when revised plans are going to be submitted to the city for consideration. Completely outside the city's control. So there's things here that are outside the city's control, and if this 45 days does not start to commence until these events in here, that 45 business days could very well extend past the summer, past CBHA's needs. Now, if that's going to happen, the city's going to be in a position of deciding whether they go and fund the alternative sewer and stormwater route along 14th Avenue and the highway, and then also being roped into the cost share agreement on Columbia Street, having those two redundant systems. I just don't want that to, you've received a lot of information tonight, and I just don't want that risk of that situation occurring to be lost on City Council. Now, if City Council wants to, you know, is okay with that risk, that's fine. I just want to make sure that everybody's aware that situation could come about. And there's nothing in this agreement as revised by Olson Homes that would prevent that.
And I guess I just want to reiterate that those trigger points are also outside of our control.
We
don't have control of when the city
for so long.
Yeah, we don't have control over when the city approves our plan. We don't have control over when the state grants us the permit, the same permit that the city would be required to get if it did the work itself. We don't have control over whether the hearing examiner approves the plat or the preliminary plat next Monday. Those are things that we don't have control over. That so it it's a bit of a leap on both sides, and we've spent a lot of time working on it, but I don't know that there's a more perfect way for both sides to have those risks mitigated. I think that this is a fair proposal. There's risk in it for both sides. You know, we didn't want to commit to a timeline on the sewer because we're nervous. What if our contractor fails in that deadline? We're doing it anyway. We're committing to that 45-day deadline. And at that point, the city could step in, get the easement, complete the project itself. And, you know, we will have then lost kind of the tie of the easement and the plat together. So there's risks on both sides' end. There's motivation on both sides' ends to get this done. Each side is interested in moving this forward, getting it done. the past timelines are, that time's gone. We can't go back and move it faster. It's where we are right now. Both parties are in a bind wanting to get it done. This is a fair proposal for both, and we'd ask it, that you approve the agreement as revised and submitted to us today.
So, Del, this plan that your wife is holding,
yes,
in her lap, have they been drawn and put together based upon the City of Othello's public work standards?
Yes, they have.
And they meet all of those standards?
Yes, they have. At least to my understanding, unless I've missed something, and that's why we have reviews.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I'm willing to let you guys see them, and so you can actually get a flavor for how complete they are.
Yeah, I'm not qualified.
Okay.
So has Terry gone through them, or
no, they haven't been submitted for review. I actually asked Terry.
Not even a preliminary, nothing like that?
I asked, not Terry, I asked Travis Goddard before we went to the hearing if I should submit them, and he said, no, hold off.
Because your opinion, Dale, versus what they're going to see in the plan is totally different.
The engineering plans are interesting beasts. I mean, you have two engineers opposing each other, and both engineers have different ways of doing things. So you could have a situation where an engineer says, well, I think it needs to be done this way, mm-hmm. and the other engineer has a plan to be done another way. So in the review process, we work through those issues. Sometimes there's got to be some give and take between the reviewer and the designer, but it's trying to find that fast path through. The more work that we do with reviewing agencies, I'm going to give an example of Moses Lake, forgive me, you know. But in their day, when they were really busy, back in the booming times of 607, 08, they had two reviewing engineers. One was Russ Brown and one was Mike Morrow. I would tailor my plans for that engineer. And if my plans got crossed to the other engineer, I'd have to make a bunch of changes. Because my initial path through was trying to give that engineer as close as what I can to the finished product so I don't have to redo work. We're working through a new path with Varela. This is the first set of plans that they're reviewing, at least of my plans that they're reviewing. So we're still working out and trying to come to terms and to learn about each other's wants and needs. So those are some of the insecurities that you're seeing from probably the city side and also from our side, because we really don't know how long that dance is gonna play out. I know that I'm motivated to get it done as soon as possible, and if the city's under a time crunch and they're motivated to get it through, then it should go through quickly.
Can I ask you a question then, Adele, is those plans, is that for the entire plat, or are we just going to be doing the review on on the Columbia Street?
No, it's for the full Sagestone 8 plat and the Columbia improvements all the way from 7th Street to 4th.
So she holds all of that in her hands?
Yes.
Okay. And now I need some help with the process, because right now we're in the process of a public hearing on this developer's agreement, and I realized next Monday we have scheduled during the day before our council meeting a hearings examiner hearing. So does the developer agreement need to be adopted in this process before we go to hearings examiner, or are these issues that, let's say we resolve 9 out of 10 of these or 8 out of 10 of these things that have been redlined and whatnot, and there's a couple left over, can those issues in that agreement be resolved by the hearing examiner, or is that for us to resolve as a body and with his representatives today?
It's an agreement, and so the hearing examiner can't force you to agree to something. So if you want to enter into the developer agreement, that fast tracks everything if you enter a development agreement, because there's not much for the hearing examiner to do, because there's no dispute. And he looks at what everybody's agreed to and then approves or rejects it. Now, but we haven't agreed to everything. We have these disputes. So normally what happens is just go to the hearing examiner, the application. We got our submittals, and the hearing examiner is going to, he'll approve or deny or approve with conditions the plat or the application. And so that's the normal process. Usually you don't have a developer agreement being, a hearing examiner saying, well, you guys agreed to all this, items 1 through 8 in this developer agreement. You didn't agree to item 9. So I'm going to determine that, this is going to be provision 9 of the developer agreement.
You don't do that.
No, because then it's not an agreement. That's an order. And so, that just doesn't happen that way.
So if there's no developer's agreement, there's no reason to have a hearing examiner come and, right?
No, the hearing examiner would just issue a decision. If there's no developer agreement, then we have to have a hearing in front of the hearing examiner so the hearing examiner can resolve the application.
We would ixnay then the developer agreement, and we would just go to a straight standard application process.
Exactly. So if you want to analogize to a lawsuit, think of the developer agreement. This isn't a perfect analogy, but think of the development agreement as a settlement agreement. And if you settle, you have a settlement agreement. You don't have to, go through with the trial.
Right.
It's kind of the same thing.
Yeah.
But this would require approval by the hearing examiner of the developer agreement.
Okay, but that would then delay the process another month?
I don't know how long it takes Mr. Kotkamp to turn around a decision, but if we have the hearing on June 12th.
So is he scheduled for Monday?
He is. June 12th at 1 p.m., is that correct?
Okay.
Yeah.
The remaining issues that are still left out there is an agreement on the budget, and then there's the other points that we've discussed here, all of which are significant to the developer. And, in terms of going to the hearings examiner without an agreement, our alternative is to try to reschedule the hearings examiner and put it out to where we can get these agreements, as we've done previously, to get to this set of dates, and or to withdraw the plat, which would take us way back in time, and we would be starting over. So.
Okay, so council, I think you've heard adequately now both sides, our council, the city's legal counsel, what their concerns and opinions are. I think you've heard now adequately from the developer's attorney and the developer's engineer. So you've been presented with two separate developers agreements, and it appears, yes.
Sorry to interrupt your train of thought, Mayor. There is one option, which we have the hearing. I mean, we could try and if counsel for Olson Holmes would agree, we could try to continue the hearing, in front of the hearing examiner. Alternatively, I mean, we can try and work out these issues, and if council's willing, we could perhaps set a special set council meeting on Monday morning before the hearing. I mean, that's an option. I didn't throw that out there as an option, so I wanted you guys.
That was where I was going.
Oh, okay. Hey,
so, in other words, what I was saying is you got two of them. We're not that far apart on some of these issues. I think some of them we already resolved tonight. Maybe there's a couple more that need to get further fleshed out. Part of it is that, again, everybody's got a gun to their head. I think that everybody in the room agrees that this would be a good development for the city of Othello. I think everybody agrees that this would benefit our community. It would provide needed housing because of the demand. And it also spurs economic development with commercial entities. So there's every incentive sitting here in the room to come to agreement. And so I feel like what I want to hear from the council is, is there something in here you want to see? Is there something here you want specifically staff to work out so that they can then confer? And I was even thinking by Wednesday, but I don't know if you have the time, Kelly and Kurt, to you know, finish up whatever those remaining items that are outstanding to be. You know, we could go to Friday. I have to, Debbie, how long do I have to give for a special city council?
24 hours.
So 24 hours. So we would know by Thursday to whether we should have a special council meeting, and then secondarily, can I get four city council members here on Friday?
I'm going to be out of town.
I'll be here.
I'll be here.
And best time is noon, do you think?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So now I'd like to hear from the council what your concerns are then with the agreement that you would like the staff to work out.
I guess I'll start. It was over a year ago getting started into this. I suggested to other members of the council that we, if we're going to ask developers to do things for the future development of this community, that we cost share in some way, some shape or form, in what they're going to do. And I thought we had made great progress in developing or entering into an agreement with an individual that was willing to develop in this community. And that's a big step for somebody to invest their hard-earned money into this community. But this has been a long, drawn-out process that that basically started 3 months ago. We could have been here 3 months ago where we had a public hearing, because we had it scheduled. We had it scheduled, but we couldn't come to a resolution with regard to issues on what the cost for inspections were going to be. That's what it all amounted to, right? And here we are now where we have a whole other issue, and it's a time frame. It's a time frame issue. So now we've created another issue because we couldn't come to a resolution over inspection fees. And I'm upset. I'm really upset. I hope that when we do this in the future, if we do it again in the future, that we get these issues worked out a lot faster than what we did. And I don't like being compared to Moses Lake.
So what was the holdup, in your opinion? Was it?
Well, for one thing, submittals. I work in the private sector. You have an engineer develop an engineered design for what you're going to build, okay? You take that to bid, and they bid based on what you've given them for an engineered design, okay? You get an engineering book from your engineer. It tells standards. You will buy this type of pipe with this standard. It is equal to or not less than. So they have the option of going out and buying different varieties of equipment, but it's held to a standard. And the way it's put in is held to a standard. So when you're done with the project, you look over the book, you look over what they've done, and you come to an agreement. So as far as submittals, why are you not wanting to submit the types of valves you're buying, the types of pipe you're buying, you know, things like that?
May I respond?
Sure.
We haven't contested making any submittals. Can we go back to that sheet? I have not contested submittals at all.
You're going to go on record tonight and say that. So that you will provide to the city.
Our issue with it is that the city takes no responsibility for the submittals that we provide them for their review. See, we're providing the submittals to the city, and as part of their inspection, they're reviewing the submittals and they're making sure those submittals meet the standards set forth by the city, so they're happy with them.
So you've read our ordinances, you know what we require.
Yes, and they're in my plans.
So you shouldn't be submitting anything outside of those standards?
Nothing that would be substandard at all.
So there wouldn't be any reason for our engineer to dispute what you've submitted?
Or if he finds something that is disputed because the contractor develops the submittals when he goes to the purchaser and he develops all of those pieces, if there's a piece that doesn't match, then they get reviewed. Then those submittals are used to make sure that the equipment being placed into the ground is the same equipment that was reviewed and approved. Does that make sense?
If I can address something, this provision here that's been crossed out, it doesn't do what they're saying it does. One, it just, all it says is it's going to be informational for the submittals or of materials or informational for the city. It just reiterates that the developer is still responsible for putting the stuff, the materials that are identified in the submittals, that he puts it in the ground. That's all it says, and that he's still responsible for satisfactory performance of the work. They're saying we're not going to accept these submittals as verification, that it's actually, you know, the submittals in and of themselves of verification is what's actually put in the ground, that was put in the ground correctly. That's still subject to inspection. That's all this paragraph says. It doesn't say it replaces inspection.
So what should it say?
It should say what it says. I mean, before being crossed out, because it's just saying that to develop, just because you tell us this is what you put in the ground, it doesn't mean we're going to rely on this to mean that you did put it in the ground and it was put in correctly. That's still subject to inspection. So it doesn't say what they're trying to say that it says. I mean, you can just read it. So I just want the council to be aware of that.
John. Go ahead, Michelle.
Mm-hmm.
This has to do with the inspections. The city is, in part of the 2.5% that we discussed and reviewed, the city was going to provide the inspections, mm-hmm. not the developer. So it would actually be the city that we're using those submittals and the responsibility for ensuring that the materials that are put in are in fact the inspector would actually be the city that was ensuring that it is. That was that 2.5%. And that inspection piece. So okay. It's not that that we're saying that there's no submittals bad, we don't need to do them. We're saying that the responsibility for the city on the fee agreement is that 2.5%, roughly $50,000, is going to be spent in that 4 to 6 months, is going to be utilized to review the submittals to make sure that they meet the standards of the city and then to verify what goes in the ground, because they're the guys watching them.
So they're going to be reviewed while they're being installed. That's what you're saying.
Well,
you're not
yeah.
going to submit those
the
right before
when
so they
the material
can see
what's
going
out. I apologize for overstepping. When the materials come out and they get laid on the ground, who is it that's going to go take a look at it to make
is
sure that's
the right pipe? Is this the right whatever?
Exactly. They're going to be comparing it based on the submittals that are sent to the city. So the city's responsibility for the materials identified dovetails in between the submittals and the inspections, which are the pieces of the 2.5% that in our original meeting that the city agreed to take.
Okay, so
that's fine and dandy on the two sections that the city is going to be taking care of. But on the center section that is Sage Stone's ownership.
Yes.
They take care of it.
But the city is cost sharing across that Sage Stone Center.
You're saying they're paying a fee.
They're paying a fee
to have us inspect it.
So we need to be there babysitting everything that they're doing. That's what
we agree, but not we're not going to be out there all day.
Well, as far as the supplies and the equipment that's going to be installed, because they're not submitting before, is that what you're saying?
Well, we're submitting.
So we can know what's going in, you know, in the ground.
Yeah. So we submit our plans. The plans are bid out. The contractor goes and sends it to the supplier. The supplier provides all the submittals back. Those submittals get annotated or put into the book. They get looked at and approved to make sure they meet standards. That's part of that 2.5% of, you know, that 50,000.
Well, if they get approved and meet standards, there's nothing to talk about then. All there is just on make sure it gets installed right.
The individual who's been selected to go out and do the inspection verifies it. Yeah, this pipe is this pipe. This valve is this valve. Okay. This is this. And then the city representative who's doing the inspections They can be out there all day if they wish. They can go out there and make 30-minute walkthroughs every so often and verify what's going on. However the city envisions spending that time that we're paying for in that 2.5% fee.
Okay,
then the city expends it in such a way that they amplify their coverage and make sure that the contractor has, in fact, installed the correct materials.
Okay, Del, I think you get that part. So now I want to ask my counsel what he's explaining versus what the agreement says. Where are we missing each other?
Okay, we can modify the language, but what this, it says, it's headline submittals. It's what's being submitted, right? It's not about inspection. So what this says is that the submittals are informational only for the project, checked for general conformance with city and industry standards. That's what they use that for the submittals. Public Works mere, it says possession, so you can look at it as Public Works mere possession of material submittals is not intended to be certification that the developer actually installed the materials identified or did not deviate from the submittals. Of course, because you can't just look at a submittal and know that that's what the developer put in the ground. You actually have to go look, and that's what the inspection does. This is not the inspection portion of the agreement. It's just saying, hey, you're submitting to us. That doesn't mean that we're relying on your submission to mean that you actually put it in. We're still, I mean.
But can we come to agreement with Michelle over that nuance?
Well, I think we can change the language to make it clear, because it seems that the problem is with the provision here. It says developer is responsible for ensuring. Well, of course the developer is responsible for making sure he did what he's supposed to do. But we also got to go and do an inspection, and we can clarify that.
Kurt,
I mean, to take that out.
So the intent of this middle portion of this, the Public Works Committee will recollect that the initial presentation of this agreement did not include submittals because we were specifically told that it would not pay for submittal reviews. Upfront submittal reviews do a couple things. Not only do they verify what's being put in the ground is what is specified, but sometimes they also contain information about on-site storage, installation instructions, things of that nature, where if you were having constant, consistent inspection out in the field, the inspector would have that in his hand and he'd be verifying those things on a fairly frequent basis. The indication was initially to cut costs, inspection costs. We weren't inspecting on a continuous basis. We weren't approving submittals. So note in what is presented here is no approval of submittals. It does not say we're reviewing and approving these whatsoever. It is, you told us in that reference meeting, you will provide us what we want, you'll install it like it says it's to be installed, and at the end of the job, you're going to give us all the submittals, and we are going to take that for face value. That was what our concessionary response was with the Public Works Committee. And that is why that paragraph was added. And this was a lot of anxiety between Public Works and myself trying to get this to some sort of reasonable expectation. And also inspection of even constant nature by any legal definition is not means and methods and a guarantee that they install it right. A guy can be standing there documenting every move, but it is the contractor's responsibility to install all the products per the manufacturer recommendations and per specifications. So, I just want to make those couple clarifications.
All right, thank you, Kurt. What I'd like to do, we've gone on for a bit. I'd like to take a 5-minute recess. And then we'll reconvene back to John Lawless so that he can finish his questions and or comments, and then the rest of the council, and then we'll continue on in our public hearing. So we're going to take a 5-minute recess at 8:23 p.m., and actually we're going to make it a 7-minute, and we will reconvene at 8:30. So just give everybody a chance to stretch their legs, use the restroom, and we'll all meet back here in 7 minutes. I'd like to reconvene the meeting tonight at, or the public hearing tonight at 8:33 p.m. I see everybody has returned to their seats, and we shall proceed with our, with this public hearing on the Sagetone Development Agreement. And I will defer now to Councilman John Lawless. Did you have some statements or some questions that you would like to see staff work out with the developers' representatives?
Well, I don't think that we can agree on all of the crossed out sections of the agreement that we had, in one of them being the submittals. I mean, we want submittals. But I'm asking the parties, are you guys willing to get together and work this out to get a, if we could have a special session to where we could get this accomplished sooner than later?
Very much so. I would be welcome to meet anytime, anywhere to work this out. And I need to reiterate, submittals, we intended on providing all the submittals. It's a matter of the responsibility that goes along with them. And in our plans, we plan to give the city all of its requirements.
And I'm not really quite clear on your reasons for your statement. So you think that it would cost you more money to give submittals to the city for the inspections, or what is it?
No, the submittals will be prepared and submitted to the city. That was never in question. Okay. The upper section of the submittals, where it says to submit, none of that is in question. We redline any of those pieces. They're to be given. We intended on giving that to you. Our only discussion was, it's the responsibility for those submittals and for the review and the utilization of those submittals relative to the inspection. Now, maybe the inspection section of this needs to be modified so that it details out the city's responsibility to utilize those submittals instead of here, down here, essentially saying we have them, but we're not responsible for them. We're not responsible to use them. After we have them. That was my reason to.
I don't know. Mark and I are on the street committee, and this was actually something Mark, you know, had talked about in committee. It was a concession to you guys that he stated in committee with us that you submit a submittal, you're going to buy that valve. You're going to put that valve in the ground. There's a guarantee of trust that that's what you're going to do if you're going to submit a submittal.
Okay.
And this was a concession saying, pretty much saying that.
So with what the committee felt is that if we provide submittals to the city,
we take it at face value, and that's what you're doing. You're gonna put that valve in there. If you submit for a standard and you got like three lists of different types, Bebco, you know, Ames, whatever,
mm-hmm.
Watts, whatever, that's what you're gonna go by, is you're gonna buy an Ames or a Watts or a Febco.
Yes.
Because they meet the Department of Health standards or whatever.
But like he's saying, they should be, submittals should be reviewed and approved, not just, okay, here's the submittals, okay, go put the stuff in the ground. Oh, okay, well, we don't like that submittal, so it's not approved. You got to tear out that 2,000 feet of pipe now because that wasn't approved.
I don't think that's
not what it says.
Of this.
No.
That's not the intent of this. We basically took what you said and made a concession, and I think that's what Kurt was trying to do, is that if you say you're going to do this, then we believe they'll do it.
And we expect the contractor to meet all the submittals and construct it as the approved plans are set forth.
Mm-hmm.
But when it's all said and done,
if the city's providing the inspection portion, the inspection of what's going on, they're making the spot inspections while they're out there. They're essentially providing that service and that teaming effort. They're the eyes that provide that verification instead of the developer paying another consultant to go out there and stand and watch and to do. So it's a teaming effort. So in essence, if the city has the submittals and they've reviewed them, they know what's there, would they be the ones that would be looking to make sure that, hey, that's the pipe that's going into the ground? Or does the developer need to, on top of that, pay for another inspector to come out and watch the contractor so that when we get down the road, as was brought up by Mr. Snyder, when the project's done, they say, well, we didn't like that submittal. Do we pull up 2,000 feet of pipe?
So were we missing each other here on this?
I don't see how the clause can get that out of that.
The clause says that the submittals will be reviewed to make sure they meet city standards and the city and industry standards. So nobody's saying that the submittals aren't going to be reviewed. I mean, the language actually says that's what the city's going to do. So I don't know where that discussion is headed.
The issue is with the last sentence. The last sentence of this paragraph says the developer is responsible for ensuring these things. And that's the point of the inspection agreement, is that the city's getting their 2.5% fee, which is $50,000
in rent.
The city's getting $50,000 for assuming the responsibility of doing those inspections and verifying that the materials in the ground are consistent with the submittals. And that last sentence modifies that responsibility. And I guess maybe it was not intended to do that.
I guess it depends on what side of the fence you're sitting on. Because what I read and what I see in that is that we're going to kind of be hands-off with you. We're going to let you make sure that you did the job right, the way you said you were going to do the job. We're not going to be looking over your shoulder all the time to make sure you accomplished what you said you were going to accomplish. So that's what I see in this paragraph sitting on this side of the fence versus what you're seeing sitting on your side of the fence.
And the developer would like to know, what is he getting for the $50,000 that he's putting into the bank, the city's payroll, for doing inspections?
See, they're trying to tell us that we can't have it both ways.
Well, no. Do they want somebody looking over their shoulder the whole time that they're doing this project?
That is the best way to have a set of plans constructed correctly, is to have somebody spot on and off, popping in, verifying that it's gone. I guarantee you, any other jurisdiction, if they never had anybody out there all the time, yeah, the contractor is absolutely happy, but it doesn't mean the things are going in the ground right. But it doesn't mean that there has to be, that there's got to be the waste of having somebody out there 100% of the time. See, city staff could be out there 3 hours a day, 1 hour a day, 2 hours, or whatever, pop in, pop out, just watching what's going on and be able to provide that oversight to where the contractor stays focused and stays working.
Just a quick question to clarify this. So, hypothetically, let's say that we had an inspector out here at 8 o'clock in the morning, so all the stuff was going okay, came back at 10 o'clock and looked down in the hole where the valve was supposed to be, and lo and behold, it was the wrong valve. Okay, that, now what?
He throws up a red flag immediately.
Okay, and then who's responsible for pulling that out?
He is.
Who is?
The contractor.
Okay, the contractor who works for Pete.
Exactly. See, at the point, the point that they're providing that service, that inspection, once they find a deviation, then we can correct it immediately.
Okay, so.
But if nobody's watching, then we go down the road and the repair is more expensive.
I got that piece. Yeah. I'm just talking about the stuff we catch that's, for some reason, not in compliance with the submittals.
We want it right. We want it to stand. We want it per the approved plans.
The further you get down the road, you say it's more expensive. So it's in your best interest to be watching what your contractors are doing.
That's true. It is in our best interest to hire good, honest contractors that do what they're supposed to do. And we believe we have a contractor that is, that has that integrity. Now, the verification of that, and to make sure that the city's happy, because if the city decides that there's a piece of equipment that fails to meet their standard, we want to know immediately. We want to know at the submittal portion.
You should know that prior, yeah, in the submittal.
If the submittal portion, or if the contractor decides to pull a fast one. Because once it's buried, I'm not going to be able to tell you the difference between a Watts valve and a clove valve. And if it's buried from the standard, because I can't see it.
I have a statement. I don't have a question or anything.
Please.
I basically think you guys, it sounds like you guys are talking the same thing, but you're on two different sides of the fence and reading something differently. And I really don't think that this should be in front of us right now. I think you guys need to get together, get it finished, bring it back to us so we can approve something. And I, you know, we've wasted 2 hours, not wasted, but, you know, 2 hours, because I'm of the opinion, when I read it on my side of the fence, when I read the red lines, it looks to me as if you want us to approve a plan that removes all protection for the city. And that, I don't think that's your intent. And I don't think that what you're reading isn't the intent of the city, and what, from what I've heard, is our intent. So I think the two parties need to get together, finish it off, get, you know, work it out, and then bring it back to us, because I, you know, I don't think it belongs in front of us right now.
Okay, but in fairness to the developer and to the city,
I'm all for having a special meeting. Get it done. Get it here fast. And we'll have a special meeting.
Agreed. However, what I'm trying to get from the council though is, what about the changes in the agreement do you want to see the staff work out, so that specifically we can isolate this down to the 2-3 issues that remain, and that this becomes an easy process? You have his representatives, his staff, our staff, we're all here. I want to get as much of this done as we can before we move on.
Well, you know, I don't know. I think that from what it sounds like to me, just listening to everybody, is that there's two different interpretations of the redlined items going on, and it's one side of the fence versus the other side of the fence. I think they need to sit down and talk about intent, and then reword it so that it's correct,
and
or so that it's correct for both sides.
So are you talking about all the redlined items, or are you talking about 16.5? Are you talking
16.5
about
16.5? 16.5 is, you know, I understand that the city wants a lead time to get stuff done, and I understand that the other people want, you know, 45 days. I don't think either of them are going to come to pass, personally. I don't think you're going to get there. I don't think you got enough time.
You got an idea?
Well, okay. And then the submittals and the things that we've been discussing here, I think that we just need to hash out the wording so that it's correct for both, you know, so everybody's happy, and let's get on with it.
So, make it clear, let's not, so the issue with the submittals and this paragraph in the verification on the job is that you guys are afraid that there's going to be an increase in the budget because we're going to charge additional amount okay. So how does that become an issue?
The issue with that paragraph that was stricken is that our interpretation of it is shifting the responsibility back to the developer for what the purpose of this agreement is, which is that the city's getting money to take responsibility for the inspections.
Just get rid of the inspection fee agreement.
Contrary to that.
Just get rid of the inspection fee agreement. Go with our normal stuff.
Getting this consideration, getting some $50,000 for assuming the responsibility for the inspections and for the review of making sure the materials on the ground match with the plans. That's what the city's getting paid for. And we feel that last sentence is contrary to that. And I do agree with Council Doro. I think it's a drafting issue.
Mm-hmm.
When I hear us talking,
it sounds like a lot of this is a drafting issue, and it really shouldn't be here right now.
We can blame the lawyers on it. Kelly and I can get together and probably craft language that matches what we're talking about here, because it does sound to me like the most part the parties are in agreement on that. So in my mind, the changes on the infrastructure agreement are drafting issues that I think we're going to be able to resolve, because it does sound like the parties are on the same page. But I'm concerned about that it sounds our position is very fixed on is that timing issue, and I don't know where the city's at with the timing issue for the deadline for completion of the sewer and storm system. We feel that's a deal breaker for us, and I don't know where the city's at on that timing. That we feel like we can't commit to something that we don't have control over, and this is kind of our best deal that we can do. 45 days, which is the timeline we got from our contractor after we get those required approvals and permits. And so in my mind, that's the issue that I think is important for us to hear from the council, what your view on that is, because that's our deal breaker.
Yeah. And I would agree with that. I mean, a lot of this and I apologize, I did not have an opportunity to review their revisions to the, well, the inspection fee agreement and some of them. Yeah, and so I was able to review those and address those. However, I do agree that the crux of what is before the council is paragraph 16.5. And I say that from a liability standpoint, because if you were to agree to it as revised, the city could be subject to competing obligations. It's going to cost the city more money, and the way it's drafted, according to Olson Holmes revisions, it's dangerous for the city to agree. And this can be, I mean, not everything yet. You don't have to reach agreement on everything. This may, I mean, it very well may be, if we can't agree on the language of 16.5 and timing, I have some additional ideas sitting here tonight, but if we can't agree on the language, and this is a development agreement, it's not going to happen. And everybody's just going to have to take their, you know, roll the dice with the hearing examiner and see if they get what they want. But that means we're not going to have utilities in Columbia Street. We're going to have utilities somewhere else. And that's what that would mean. So I do think 16.5 is the crux of the issue. Everything else should be able to be worked out. That's the one that they've drawn a line in the sand on. The city has not. I mean, staff has indicated, or I've stated, that I believe that is a line in the sand for the city. But, you know, I'm not the council, and it's for you guys to draw the line, not me. So
what if, oh, go ahead, Larry.
I'm good. This is all brand new to me, and I'm just listening. 3 months, we've got 3 months that we haven't done anything, evidently. Now, is this, during this, I'm sure we've done things, but is the 3 months the city's fault, dragging their feet, or is it Olson dragging their feet? Because here we come to a meeting. The only thing that I can do, I'm not on all these committees, the recommendation of the staff is what I'm going to go to. Now, what it didn't make me too happy to listen to all these changes that came today at noon or whatever, where our lawyer didn't have an opportunity. He should have had them a week ago.
But and I can speak on that. There's been multiple. Well, first of all, I can only speak to when I was tasked with participating in this, and that was after Mr. Goddard mm-hmm. left employment, mm-hmm. Which I think was April. You know, so about a month and a half now, I've been working on this, and I can say that, and Ms. Green also was just recently hired. And so since we've been involved, we've been working with each other, multiple things back and forth. We met up here at City Council at City Hall. We both drove from she drove from Wenatchee, I drove from Spokane to try and resolve it, and we've been working on agreements. And, you know, and I'm not, and Ms. Green has been responsive and easy to work with. It's not a conflict of personalities of council. And I think she's been diligent, and I've been diligent in responding to this. What it's come down to is the city's need to make sure that they have if they're going to agree to this, there is a guarantee. There is absolutely no risk that those utilities are not going to be put in,
right?
Because they have to be in, right. And their reluctance to agree to anything that would provide such a guarantee. What staff has recommended is that, you know, we put in a deadline, and that if they don't have none, that's okay. The city will step in and do it, and all the developer has to pay is the base cost, which is what they would pay if they did it anyway. And so, you know, there's not a financial hardship on them, but it gives the city the opportunity to come in and ensure that it's going to get done.
But Kelly, let me ask you this question. If they don't make the deadline and it turns over to the city and we have to hire a contractor, is that another 30 days
well,
to get a permit to finish?
No, it shouldn't be. The city will have to, the city's going to have to do some work ahead of time to get ready for that. And they're aware of that. So, I mean, it takes contingency planning, because when you have a deadline like this that's coming up, you gotta run on multiple tracks and see which one's gonna work. So the city's gonna have to do that, but you know, we're not there right now.
I'd like to make a suggestion. Part of turn my phone off. Sorry. Part of the developer's argument with regard to this deadline is they don't know if they can meet it. And part of the city's argument is we got to meet it. And so one of the things that the city is saying to the developer is well, we don't know what kind of plans you're going to give us. We don't know whether we can approve those in a week, or we don't know whether we can approve those in, or this could go back and forth a couple of times, puts us into July, correct? Could, potentially. So why doesn't the city put deadline on that rather than on anything else? Mm-hmm. And say, okay, if we can't come to agreement with the developer on the, on the plans, by whatever date would give us enough time to, do it ourselves, I guess, for lack of a, I'm not sure. So that's going to be my suggestion, because let's just get real here. Can we just throw all this other stuff aside? And so we enter into some kind of an agreement that everybody likes, and then you've got the contractors out there working for the developer, and he knows he's trying to meet a deadline. The contractor wants to meet the deadline. The developer wants to meet the deadline. Columbia Basin Health sure as heck wants to meet the deadline, and so does the city. So he's not going to be sitting around once everything's been approved. He ain't going to be sitting around. He knows he's got a deadline. And so they're going to be out there, and they get in, and I'm in agreement with the Michelle that okay, we might be a week over, let's say, maybe we're a day over. Well, I think there's just a little bit of play time based upon what Columbia Basin Health has, their plans are, that we could, if we did get them hooked up by say September 6th or September 7th, everybody's still okay, including Columbia Basin Health, including the city. And so I think that if we take that tact and we move forward with that idea, we'll let the two lawyers get the language, and with that, I'd like to continue on in our public hearing. Okay, you guys kind of have a consensus of,
yes,
of that? So you're holding the record open?
So. Yes, I'm gonna hold the record open. Well, I still gotta finish this public hearing. And then how would you suggest I just hold it over or reconvene the public hearing?
Yeah,
and then,
we'll just continue it and mm-hmm. holding the record open.
Okay.
And then we can move on.
Okay, very good.
We'll reconvene it to whatever date.
Probably Friday. Okay, so now is there anybody else in the audience that wants to speak in support of this agreement that the city has proposed? Is there anyone neutral who would like to speak to the agreement? Is anybody in opposition who would like to speak on the record? Okay, seeing none and hearing none, is there any further staff response?
I would say that you generally do it for Friday with the option of possibly holding off till Monday if we can't get this done Monday.
What time is the public hearing? Is the examiner hearing?
1 o'clock.
We have that in the morning.
Okay. Preferably, I'd like it done this week so that the hearings examiner has it at least in his possession. But if not, I guess you're right. As long as you two have agreed, he'll say, then I'm in agreement, right? He will assume that we know what we're agreeing to. Okay, so then I'm going to close the public testimony. Is there any further deliberation of the council? Then I would like to entertain a motion to continue this public hearing to our special city council meeting, which is either going to be Friday or Monday. Friday being the, what's the date?
Friday's the
9th. And or the 12th. Debbie, how do we properly do that? Do we set both dates and then cancel one? Do we just go Friday?
The 9th or the 12th. Depending upon if we notify both attorneys. Do we just have to post it?
Oh, we have till Thursday to make that declaration,
yes,
right?
We do. Mm-hmm.
I'm not available on Friday, so Monday would be better for us, unless some of our consultants would be arguing if there's any remaining issues, so my preference would be Monday.
So would that postpone the county examiner's meeting that we have scheduled for 3 o'clock on Monday?
For 1 o'clock.
1 o'clock. Nope. I don't know. It wouldn't postpone it. We're trying to get it done ahead of time. What we can do, too, is, you know, I'll talk to Ms. Green, but we may be able to agree to talk to the hearing examiner and see if he'll...
I'd be available at noon. I would be available at noon. Monday at noon.
Mm-hmm.
You too?
Sure.
I'll give you the rest this week to figure this out. Is that adequate time, do you think?
Well, no, because the hearing examiner is at 1 in Wenatchee. Well, I don't know if he's coming down here.
He's coming down here.
Oh, he's coming down here.
Yeah.
Okay. So.
Can
you
give us an hour?
Yeah.
Oh, we'll do it earlier.
We're going to assume that after all of the deliberation tonight, you guys can figure this out and come to agreement with our staff.
We'll endeavor to do it by Wednesday or Thursday.
Endeavor. That's the word she's using, okay? Mm-hmm. Are you guys using an endeavor term, too?
An endeavor term?
Yes. Sure.
Okay. We're trying our best.
Very good. Thank you. Appreciate it. I appreciate the staff of the developer.
11 o'clock would be better.
I think 11
if
would be
better. If everybody's available.
I don't think
he's available at 11 on Monday. Okay. All right. So you'll have a quorum. We can promise you a quorum. I want to thank the representatives of Pete Olson. I want to thank Pete Olson himself. This is finally coming to the finish line, at least as far as this developer's agreement, but that's the big next hurdle that we need for that to go, and it looks like it's right now in the hands of the lawyers to finish making sure we each understand each other well in this agreement, okay? Yes. Okay, give him a second. Mm-hmm. Kelly, can the chairman, can the mayor, just declare, or does this need a motion to continue this public hearing?
I would have a motion.
Okay.
Sorry.
Need a motion to continue this public hearing and keep the record open, subject to our special city council meeting that will be held Monday at 11 a.m. here in the city council chambers. I need that motion.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Motion carried.
So we have a motion and a second.
Mark and Gina.
Second.
Okay. All right, thank you, council. Thank you. You guys are welcome to stay. However, you've been here for some time, and we still have some more business to conduct, but you're certainly free to go if you like, okay? So since we are not, have not come to agreement in this developer's agreement, we are going to strike 3.02 from the agenda and move to item 3.03, public hearing for the six-year street improvement plan. And that, we have a staff report from Kurt. Okay, hold on, yes, right, thank you. All right, I'd like to open this public hearing for this City of Othello's statewide transportation improvement plan at 9:04 p.m. And we will hear from City Engineer Kurt Holland. Kurt?
Mayor, Council, thank you. I'm just going to read from your agenda memo. The legislative body of each town or city pursuant to one or more public hearings thereon shall prepare and adopt a comprehensive transportation program for the ensuing six calendar years. The program shall be filed with Secretary of Transportation not more than 30 days after its adoption. Annually thereafter, the legislative body for each town or city shall review the work accomplished under the program and determine current city transportation needs. Based on these findings, each such legislative body shall prepare and, after public hearings thereon, adopt and revise and extend comprehensive transportation program before July 1st of each year. And each one-year extension and revision shall be filed with the Secretary of Transportation not more than 30 days after its adoption. The purpose of this section is to assure that each city shall perpetually have available advanced plans looking for the future for not less than 6 years as a guide in carrying out the coordinated transportation program. I won't read the rest. It's been a long night. I'm just going to go over a little PowerPoint of the proposed STIP. I think in future years, evidently there's some states use a four-year STIP. And some use a six. There's some kind of conflicting information currently on the WashDOT. This is all done online now. They're fully, I think this is the first year it's been fully online. So even the verbiage on the online program is kind of conflicting. The purpose, let me go this way, of the state transportation program is to provide for fiscally sound set 1 to 6 year capital improvement plan for the state surface transportation program. This STIP is updated as needed to document the results of the project selection. The STIP established schedules for a variety of projects, including highways and bridges, bicycle and pedestrian facilities, highway safety, congested mitigation and air quality improvement, railroad safety, highway operations and motorist services, public transportation. Why? I will also, I'm going to add at this point in time, it does appear that the TIB and other transportation agencies are starting to kind of pool their resources a little bit. Last year, for the first time in the TIB application, they actually referenced the STIP. In previous years, I think it was just kind of a regulatory requirement by the Federal Highway Program. So I think, again, as years go on, I think we're going to start seeing a more integrated, thought-out STIP where it's going to be an actual tool that the city uses to project their plans. I think typically they haven't been
so much. So why it's required by WashDOT and Federal Highways, it is now being used. Like I said, it's being mentioned at TIB. They haven't given it any weighting structure, but it is being used to secure funding, promotes public awareness and participation. So I'm just going to outline the projects in the six-year transportation plan. The First Avenue project is on there. That is going to be completed this year. Lee Road, South Broadway, North Broadway, Main Street and SR 17 intersection. So we met 2 weeks ago with WashDOT. They currently have on the books to do a roundabout at Main Street, State Route 17, design in 2018, construction in 2019. State Route 24 improvements, 7th Avenue ADA sidewalk improvements, 14th and 26th intersection. There's also already preliminary discussions addressing that intersection as well. South 7th Avenue and Columbia Street. So that would be the western edge connector from the discussion that we just had and connected it on the Columbia Street. And then the road rating that council approved a week ago. So that's it. Any questions? So most of these were on here last year. New ones are the intersection improvements that the state added for our conversation, I think it was 2 weeks ago, maybe. And the road rating. The rest of them we kind of juggle, reprioritize, check the numbers. And, you know, like I said, I think as time goes on, that's going to become a much more used document that we actually are using to use in the budget process, etc.
Council, you got any questions? Okay, thank you, Kurt. This time I'd like to open the public testimony portion of this public hearing. Is there any in three parts, those in support, those neutral to the proposal, and those in opposition. Is there anybody here who would like to testify in support? Please raise your hand. Is there anyone here who is neutral and wants to testify? Is there anyone in opposition who would like to testify? Okay, hearing and seeing none, we'll move to close the public testimony. Council, do you have any further discussion you want to have on this? Okay. And I'd like to close the public hearing for the street improvement plan for 2017 of the City of Othello at 9:11 p.m. And at this time, I'd entertain a motion on do we have a resolution? Well, okay, so over. All right, so we had our public hearing, okay. So our resolution will be ready at the next week, all right. Kurt, you're not done. We're moving to item 3.04, 14th Avenue Improvement, Change Order 17 and 18.
So I'm gonna tag team a little bit here, I believe, with Spencer. Council looked at both of these, I believe, last week. They've been to Public Works Committee a couple times. The recommendation was at that time to approve them. I think the hurdle was how to funding it. So Spencer will talk about a little bit about the funding stuff. Change order 17 is for the future street lighting, similar to Main Street. To avoid utility conflicts during installation, Public Works Committee has requested the contractor install the electrical service pedestals, conduit, and pole boxes at each light. Work also includes supplying and installing two flashing beacon stop signs at 14th Avenue
and Scutney Street, similar to the flashing beacon site on the south end of 14th Avenue. The engineering design was mostly done and built during the construction period as part of the construction phase services, so there's not additional bills for that. Change order 18. Per recommendation of the city, street trees were added the length of 14th Avenue, including applicable irrigation improvements. Increased scope of work includes adding over 50 trees, root barriers to protect adjacent infrastructure and necessary irrigation. Again, the engineering design for this work was completed during the construction phase services and has already been paid. Any questions regarding those two? You guys have, I think, looked at these a couple times, but.
So one is for the street lights, the other one is for the irrigation.
Mm-hmm. Street trees, lights, and the conduit for the lights and the street trees and the irrigation, yeah.
Okay. Council? I entertain a motion to approve these. Change orders?
I'll make that motion.
Second.
Further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. We'll move to item 3.05, update on the generator and VFD for well number 6. And Terry, you have some information.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. Just a brief update on the generator and VFD for well number 6. We put some money aside for the VFD in well 6 to pull that gut that panel and bring that up to an efficiency side. They'll pull the seven or the 900 horse motor, put in a 700 horse, change the transformer out, do some cabinet work. I think Mr. Lawless had asked about CTs. Those would be out in the transformer on the incoming side, so that's being taken care of. They'll hook it up to telemetry, things like that. So the specs are being drawn up right now. We're working on those. I got to get with Dan and go over those and kind of file those out now. There was a portion of that if we could save some money out of this VFD, we'd put some of that money or all of that money towards the generator for backup emergency purposes for well number 6. Those specs are being drawn as well at the same time here for a generator over there and to put in that. I don't have a total amount of cost yet for the two, but they are two different projects. They're not combined. They're two separate total. So that's being worked on at the same time. Any questions?
Okay, so it's just informational.
It's just an informational, okay. Just to bring them up to speed.
And the capital request, just out of curiosity, we already had that budgeted?
Yes, yeah. Yes, yeah. We did. Okay.
Quite
good.
Okay, yeah. Thank you, Terry. Moving to item 4, is there any committee reports? We skipped a...
Something. Move back to the change order 17 and 18 just for a second. I wanted to have a brief conversation about some different funding options for those two items. One of them is quite large, and we had Earth out.
It is okay. It's requested now.
We had a conversation in street committee last week, where we talked about some different funding options. And to have that conversation, I grabbed the same chart that we went through one or two meetings ago, where we decided on where we were fund our phase 3 which avenue, the southern express, the city portion, our 10%. And we had the hurricane rehab where we split some of that cost between the parking lot reserve and the new side of the our portion of the transfer. And so I thought, let's use the same chart that we're used to talk about these two change orders, 17 and 18. 17 is about 300,000, and change order 18 is about 80,000. So this just briefly shows available dollars. We have in our general fund, we have a minimum fund balance of 400,000, and we still have about $11,000 left over.
We have the utility cash dollars, about $23,000. In our street fund, our street and street reserve fund, we have $350,000 as the reserve for those two funds, $150,000 from street and $200,000 from the street reserve. We also have $69,000 in money that we have designated, that we budgeted in the street fund, but we haven't designated for a specific project. Then we have our TBD dollars. I know these aren't dollars that you want to use for this project or for past conversations, but I want to still put that there because it's an option, and I want to share all the options here. Then we have our lead dollars too, $26,000 there. We talked about a couple different options here. There are two other sources of money here that we want to talk about briefly. One, we have the remainder of the 14th Avenue grant that we still have coming in. There's about $30,000 there. And then the contributing dollars that are going to be coming from property owners along 14th. In short order, we should be able to receive about $368,000 there. And so when we're funding change order 17 is about $300,000 and change order 18 about $80,000, these are the dollars that we have to work with when we're funding it. We talked about a few different options. We looked at the change order 17, that's $300,000. We can fund that just out of the street reserve right here. That would deplete those two funds quite a ways. We have our contributing property owners, this $368,000 that would replenish that pretty soon. The concern here is if we use this money right here, right away this year, and we don't get this money until next year, we can have a cash flow issue. So what we discussed in the street committee was taking a loan from the sewer fund. We have $7.8 million there. We can take a 3-year loan, $300,000, and that would solve the cash flow problem. So we can have that $300,000 to use, and then as soon as we get this money down here, we'll be able to pay that loan back, and we're done. Mm-hmm. That avoids the possible depleting funding at the end of the year. So that ultimately what the street committee wanted to do was use this loan interfund loan from the sewer fund to fund the $300,000, change order 17, and then change order 18. That's going to be split between the water and the street anyway, so we can take $40,000 here and out of the street fund, and then the other $40,000 can be the water fund. I don't have a water fund up here. Those are the two decisions that the street committee came to. That would also allow us to put the what's it called, the PCR, the paving. Pavement condition rating that we talked about. The Varela is going to do a street study to look at what roads we want to use the TBD money first for. That was $39,000. We would also be able to take that off street money. Also, if we get a loan for the chamber 17 and chamber 18, can still be out of the street water.
That's kind of a fast plow through that conversation. Is there anything that committee wants to add? Or any other thoughts?
No, I think, yeah.
I'm proud at this point in the evening, I guess.
So,
I guess, make it exciting.
Okay, so, but we're not making that decision today. You're just giving us the options.
Well, so if we're funding these, we need to know that these are the available dollars.
No, but we didn't approve how we were going to pay for it.
You approved them to be paid for. You better figure out how to pay for it.
I get that part, but what I'm saying is we still haven't approved where we're going to take the funds from to pay for it.
Right, and that's going to take a motion.
Yeah, well, tonight, we don't need a motion tonight.
or a resolution.
That's my question.
We can, with council guidance, I can build the budget with your guidance in mind, and then we can build that into a final budget amendment later on.
What do you think, Corey?
Actually, I have a question. So we've got, there's $398,000 that's coming in from the property owners and from the grant.
Yeah.
So there's only what, that, $375,000? Why aren't we just taking and paying all of that out of that money instead of taking money out of the street and the water?
We don't have it yet.
We don't have it yet. It's coming in.
Right, right, right. But that's where the loan from the sewer department comes in.
Yeah.
To pay for that entire thing instead of taking money out of the street fund.
Well, because there's
exactly
well, he's saying, why aren't we paying for the number 18 also out of there?
Right.
But the thing is we've got the reserves in the water and the sewer, the water and the street to pay for the other. So we didn't want to have to take it out of the loan.
Just moving money around.
Yeah.
If you're doing.
Are you suggesting that we take interfund loan for the whole 300?
To pay the entire thing, and when that money comes in, pay that entire loan back. Because we'll have that money back within a year.
Yeah. I don't know that it makes a difference one way or the other.
Except for that's going to almost completely deplete the street fund.
They're only taking $40,000 out of the street fund.
I was just curious why you did that one instead of paying it all the same.
No, because there's $69,000 in undetermined projects. It's just kind of out there. And that's where that money is going to come from. The $40,000 going to come out of that $69,000 that's out there for things like this that come up.
And we still, we'll still have a reserve
of $350,000.
Okay.
For a loan, just to give you just a brief heads up on loan, I've started some conversations with our attorney about the loan. What that would look like would likely be it would be a contract, just like you're getting a loan from the bank. It has a specific time frame, it has an interest rate, and all those things in place. We would likely do a 3-year, not more than 3-year, but more than likely it'd be paid off within.
Okay, so how long do you anticipate us to collect contributing property owners along 14th at 368?
Within a year.
We will?
I would think so. But we don't know that. That's why it's safer to get a loan and that's
not a cash problem.
Doesn't happen until
all right. Okay. I favor the interfund loan. What do you favor?
The loan.
Loan.
Yeah.
Loan.
Okay. Your direction.
Great, thank you.
You bet. We're getting all agreeable here. Any more committee reports? Any committee reports, for that matter. All right. Is there any unfinished business? Item 5. Any new business?
I'll be gone next week.
Thank you. I have some announcements. Next Tuesday, the 13th, is the Lions Club auction. Tickets are available from our city administrator, Wade Ferris, $20 each. That's at the senior center.
With wine. And,
yeah, wine dinner. Yeah. New highlight is that there is a Seahawks bus coming to Othello on Father's Day for a road show. We're going to be here June 18th, approximately 11:30 to 12:30 p.m. You guys approved a facility for waiving the fee, and so they're going to be here at Lions Park. So you're all invited to attend that. On the 24th is going to be the hospital auxiliaries. And the Othello Hospital, Community Hospital's annual golf tournament and auction. And that's on the 24th. If you need any more information, you can contact Council Member Larry McCordy. The swimming pool opens June 9th. So you can find more about the season passes and stuff on the City of Othello Facebook page. And at long last, the legacy, the lasting legacy wildlife museum that's been under construction for what seems like, or compilation for about 15 years in Ritzville, is having a special VIP partners event.
ACDC.
The ACDC is hosting that, and that will be on Saturday, June 17th from 4 to 5:30 p.m. in Ritzville at the museum. Dr. Sebesta is going to give us a tour, and it's a free event. So it's an insider tour of the museum as he talks about his adventures around the world.
Yeah, it's free if you purchase a ticket to the dinner that night for ACDC.
Oh.
I didn't give you the whole information. Sorry, my fault.
That's not on this card.
I know. I forgot to give you that.
It's free if you purchase a ticket for dinner. What's tickets. The tickets cost? Saturday, June 17th.
Yep.
Sounds interesting to me. I might go just because.
Sports ACDC and their issues.
But I've, you know, if you've had any conversations with Dr. Sebesta, my goodness, he has been spending the better part of the last 25, 30 years compiling different dioramas, and which are those fancy in the, you know, wild scenes. I think he's also has a woolly mammoth, and he was also at one time he was talking about acquiring a moving robotic T-Rex. So he has all that stuff. I mean, that'll be really fun, I think. So anyway, you need to email Julie at the growadamscounty.com for at the ACDC. She's the executive director, and she can give you more information. Or a board member of ACDC, which is Wade. And having no further business tonight, I'd like to conclude our meeting at 9:30 p.m. and adjourn.
It really wore me out.
About time we did that.